Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta. Because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members. Because at Delta, we know.
Refill?
Everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. It's first pitch season for recently retired Philadelphia Eagles, Jason Kelce, Fletcher Cox, simultaneous first pitches. I'd like to think that those guys have done enough in Philadelphia, Chris Sims, to merit their own individual days. Jason Kelce one day, Fletcher Cox the next day. Don't empty the cannon on the same day. Give each guy his own day. Am I wrong to think that, Philadelphia Phillies?
You know what? You're probably not wrong to think that. It's like there's only one opening day, right? Is that was their official opening day, right? I just want to make sure I got that fact right, right? I mean, so, yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, so.
I don't know. It's been opening day for the last 2 weeks in baseball.
Well, no, it hasn't. Okay.
Every day
okay,
is opening
Grinch,
day.
It just started last week, so it hasn't been 2 weeks. It all started on Thursday. So they played one game in Japan. That's it. Relax. It hasn't been
2 weeks ago.
Yes. Okay. You Grinch, you jerk. So, yes. But I'm guessing, I don't know, Mike, I'm with you. You think both guys could get their own separate day, but there is only one opening day. I'm guessing they reach out to the Eagles. Those are two special players on both sides of the ball who are both on their way out the door. So I guess they just figured they'd do it that way.
One fell swoop, get them both, and nobody ends up being
a little hurt. Like,
slighted.
You picked him for game one, but you picked me for game three. Game one is obviously more important. How dare you do that? So
we get them both the same day, diluting the individual honor for each one.
Yes.
I'd like to be – no, I really wouldn't want to be in the room for that meeting, but I'm just curious the thought process.
Let me see it again if we don't mind, guys. I want to see the video again.
They both did, you know, you only care about a first pitch when it's a disaster.
Right.
When it's a normal throw, it's like, okay. They're on the mound, though. We are big proponents of throwing
on the
first
mound,
pitch from the mound.
And Jason really threw it.
Kelce was a little low and outside.
Yeah.
He was a little low and outside.
But he, like, but, really you threw it. He put some pace on it, too. But so that's why I'll give him a little benefit of the doubt there.
If you're facing the lefty, he may chase that one down in the dirt,
right,
as they
exactly.
say. Right?
Exactly. Yes, yes. Yep. I mean, it's good.
I used to like baseball before they destroyed this sport. I saw the list.
What are you? Who are you? You just
week.
Come in and crap on everything. Oh. What did they destroy the sport
Wait a
with?
Minute.
What is it now? What's the problem?
Wait a minute, Mr. New York Yankees.
Yeah, 4-0. We swept the Astros this weekend.
Yeah. Apparently, the Pirates did well, too, at least what I picked up on social media yesterday. Apparently they had their first four-game road sweep to start the season since Ty Cobb was playing, or maybe even Honus Wagner. I don't know if that information is accurate, and I don't care, because at the end of the day, no matter how hot of a start the Pirates have, I know what's going to happen. They're going to be out of contention. They're going to be done, and I don't know how anyone can continue to follow teams that never have a chance. That's the great thing about the NFL. They have created it so every team has a chance, whether or not that chance comes to fruition. They mentioned a week or so ago when they were getting ready for the league meetings, a conference call that we had. It's been 30 straight years that at least four new playoff teams enter the equation.
Pretty impressive.
Every year.
Right.
At least four. So there isn't, other than the Chiefs, never mind. Let's talk about something else. All right, the Chiefs own the sport right now, and they're the current dynasty. But even then, look how hard it was for them. It's not like they just show up and dominate wire to wire. They had to get their act together. On the last major Christian holiday, Christmas, they got embarrassed at home by the Raiders. The Raiders were the Grinches who came into Arrowhead Stadium and stole Christmas from the Chiefs. And we're thinking, they're not going to last long in the postseason. And then they turn it around that following weekend, beat the Bengals, get their sea legs for the postseason, and off they go. So there's still uncertainty every year.
Yeah.
Even though
there's more.
We kind of know.
Yeah,
we kind of know, and you and I have kind of agreed.
Right.
Chiefs versus the field in any year, we're taking the Chiefs. There's still some ups and downs to get there. Like, it's like watching a movie and you know that 99.9% chance the main character isn't going to get, you know, killed at the end, or maybe he was dead all along. But either way, you know, like with the Chiefs, it's a roller coaster, and the roller coaster is the fun part. And they still make you think at times that maybe they aren't going to escape.
No, right.
Carol.
Right. This year,
and they aren't going to find a way.
Yeah. I mean, gosh, I mean, Christmas night this year, I was going, damn, this is crazy. The Chiefs are going to go to the playoffs and kind of be one and done, and they'll be out of there. I mean, that's what you thought. So, you know, to your point, yeah, we did think some other teams were at play. Detroit, right? They're going to, oh, they got a chance. I mean, there was a bunch of teams that were kind of coming out of nowhere. It was rare what we saw. It really was to see that. And yeah, the sport's a little more balanced. We know that. But you know, obviously between the Patriots and the Chiefs, we find a few teams within that balanced formula that, you know, can crack the code and show you, like, hey, it's all equal, but we got a little extra something special here that separates us from the rest of the group. And that's what's kind of cool about watching the Chiefs and the greatness, what they're doing right now.
You know, you called me the Grinch earlier.
Yeah.
It made me think of something.
What?
And I'm probably going to go to hell for this, but I think I'm already losing that battle.
Yeah.
The Grinch, okay, you call me the Grinch, and yesterday was Easter. And it occurred to me there should be, like, just to make it more interesting, I guess the devil would be for the holiday of Easter. You want an Easter villain, like a Grinch.
You're looking for a Grinch. Yeah.
You need an Easter villain.
Right. Yeah.
Just to balance it out, to make it interesting.
Easter's kind of Judas
would be. The control room suggests Judas.
You're getting a little literal here.
That's probably right. Yeah, Judas would be the. Judas would be the, that's the Easter villain. So never mind. The Grinch for Christmas and Judas for Easter. So we solved it. Just as I was trying to think up something like maybe a porcupine, I don't know, a groundhog with rabies. We'll go with Judas.
Did you, you had a good Easter though? I mean, you had a good day yesterday. You guys had some family over and did all that?
Yeah. And one thing that I've kind of learned by accident.
Yeah.
Shifting the major meal. Whether it's Thanksgiving, Christmas, or Easter, you take it from 2 o'clock-ish and you move it to 4:30-ish, that changes everything. That changes everything because, like, your body isn't programmed to sit down and have this gigantic meal at 2 p.m.
No.
Because then, like, my stomach and brain are confused the rest of the day. When do I eat again? Should I eat again? What do I want to eat?
Right.
There's all these leftovers around. It's like, well, it's dinner time now. Yeah, I gorged myself at 2, but it's dinner time.
Yeah,
like,
and
my body's
hungry.
Like, hey, man,
I don't know what
you know.
To do. Right.
Yeah,
right.
Like, there's all this food here. Yeah. So if you shift it just a few hours, and this
Welcome.
Is something that we've, and it's like, hey, this is I kind of like this.
Yeah.
You eat your dinner. It's not by any means a normal dinner, but then you know, that's it. I'm done. I haven't eaten anything for 13, 14 hours, and I'm not hungry.
We're traditionally
on that
time frame anyways. We've lucked into that over the years between, you know, my dad working at CBS and whatever, to where Thanksgiving we did later dinners. We've always been kind of the 5 o'clock Thanksgiving, 5:30 Thanksgiving dinner, and same with yesterday, same with Easter. But I'm with you because you're kind of like on a day where you have a big meal at 2 o'clock, you're like, I don't want to eat a real big breakfast, and then you have the big meal, but then you get like, yeah, it's 8 o'clock, 8:30, let me start getting ready for bed on a Sunday night or whatever, and you're freaking starving again. I hear you there. I've had that before, but all right, so welcome to the new schedule. I like that. Now, Easter is good. Did you watch a little March Madness this weekend? Did you at least get a little b-ball in either night, any of the nights?
I watched LSU and UCLA in the women's tournament on Saturday, and that's all I watched.
Okay. All right. All right.
That's all I
watched.
You need
to tune in and watch UConn. UConn's doing kind of something special right now.
UConn can go to hell.
Why? UConn, you can go
to hell.
Because
there's an old Big East rivalry. Yeah. There's an old Big East rivalry. Right. I root against UConn. Right. Just like everybody roots against Duke, I root against UConn. They win enough. Let somebody else win. Let NC State win.
Nah, screw that.
With DJ Burns.
Screw that. Oh, we're watching greatness here. You guys left the Big East, didn't you? You went to the Big 12.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
I didn't like it then. And I don't like it now.
Yeah.
West Virginia University should not be in the Big 12. I said it then. I'll say it now. West Virginia should be in the Big East. And I know that for football that would be problematic, but for basketball, that's the place to be. The Big East tournament at Madison Square Garden.
The place to be.
All due respect to wherever they play the Big 12 tournament, it's not Madison Square Garden.
No,
that's
the
place
right.
to be. I did watch some UFL. We're going to talk about that later. And I do have something else to mention because I haven't identified the show for anyone who might have accidentally tuned in and wonder who are these morons. This is PFT Live, Peacock, Sirius XM 85. And I'm trying to confirm because there is a window now on Sky Sports Action because another show that has been on in this same time slot is going on an extended hiatus as they stupidly move it across the country. But that's okay. It's not our decision to make or our neighborhood at all, but it does open a window for us on Sky Sports Action because every football season, when football season starts, they take our show live and they say it's going to be live indefinitely. And then like 2 days later, it's not live anymore because I think somebody makes a phone call saying the other show needs to be on. So like somebody from New York City at 345 Park Avenue, I assume makes the phone call like, why is that on? Where's our show?
Right.
Well, their show's gone now, at least for the next, I don't know how long, weeks, months, I don't know. But I think we may be on live. So watch your mouth. Not that you would anyway. And not that they even bleep you when they have like 5 hours to figure out where you've just kind of casually thrown out an F-bomb.
Hello, so, London.
We might be live.
Okay.
I can't tell if we're live or if we're on an hour delayed. I think we're live, though, but I can't tell. I'm still not good on the whole time zone thing, but I think we might be live. We'll find out. Just by saying that, we'll hear from our friends in the UK who happen to be having some lunch and watching PFT Live on Sky Sports Action in the off season. So, and what will happen is we'll stay here, and then when the other show returns, then we'll go back to prime time. But I think I saw that we're on twice now. We're on when we usually were on, and we're on
twice the
I
fun.
I think live.
Twice
I
the
think.
Fun. Yep.
Twice a day.
I like it.
So, all right. So, update. Saturday morning.
Yeah. Oh.
It was time to carve into the un, and it's basically now that I've had it, it really is. And I don't mean to disrespect the Taylor ham community. There's a question as to whether it's ham or pork roll. It is uncanned spam. That is what it is. It's spam,
right?
Not in a can. That's all it is.
Right.
And you accept the fact that there are certain things in this world, like hot dogs.
Yeah.
Bologna,
right?
Spam,
right?
And Taylor ham.
You can get healthy hot
dogs.
Which
is the thing.
Yeah.
Well, no, you can, but the bottom line is it's all the stuff that's left over that they can't sell as otherwise, you know, desirable cuts of meat, and they throw it into a big vat, and they hit the button, and they put in the food coloring. And the next thing you know, you've got this ground up whatever it was that was left over from the pig. So Anyway, Taylor Ham, Saturday morning.
Thank you for that side note. Tell us the freaking story and get to the point. Let's go. Hurry up. I mean, damn.
The Taylor Ham, well, I mean, I had to do it. I had to try it. I wasn't blown away.
Right.
My son really liked it, though. He was ready for more yesterday.
Oh, okay, so, okay. And you cut the little X's in the because that was something I didn't know about. So
yeah, you got to cut the X's so it doesn't curl up in the pan. If you don't cut the X's, it curls up in the pan.
Right.
I did my research.
And well, that's Aunt Wendy wanted to make sure I had told you that. I didn't know for sure. I didn't know that. I don't cook this ever. But she was like, hey, did you tell him to put X's in it? And I was like, what? And she was like, it'll get all deformed and weird if you don't cut the X's in it. So
yes,
you did it. Good job. Now, the other thing is, because I showed some people your sandwich there, and they don't think you're really giving it, like, the full justice of what it really is, right? Nobody in North Jersey would eat that Taylor Ham egg and cheese sandwich on that bun. So that was the other thing that I just got back, right?
What's wrong with the bun?
Well,
it's
just not what traditionally is used for this in Jersey, right? I'm just telling you, if you want to get the Jersey experience, I have no problem with that bun. It's a great bun. I like it. But
what are you using, Jersey hubcaps?
No. Well, maybe. It depends what neighborhood you're in. But I know that more times than not, they like the bagel. A bagel is probably the number one thing people use to kind of put that in between. And yeah, I had those conversations yesterday about you with some of my family members.
And I was incorrect. I didn't think we had American cheese. We did. So my son had it with American cheese. Maybe that's why he liked it more than I did. But there's kind of it's a little tangy. There's just something to it. And I can't really articulate what the taste is.
Right.
But I didn't hate it, but it wasn't like, wow, I want another one. That's the other thing too. It's very filling. And I just did one egg and I did a piece on the bottom and I think I did a piece on top and the egg in the middle didn't have the cheese. But I liked it, but it's not like Taylor Ham is now going to infiltrate my breakfast routine.
Right,
I'll still take bacon over Taylor Ham.
Yeah,
At least the bacon comes from, like, you know, a part of the pig that I assume the bacon comes from. It's not the mystery meat in the blender on puree into whatever.
Thank you.
It's not ham. It's definitely not ham. We had ham yesterday.
Yeah.
And I can tell you,
ham's good,
with a high degree of certainty, yeah, that Taylor Ham is not ham.
No, it's not.
I know what it's not. I don't know what it is. I got some ideas of where it comes from on the pig, but it's definitely not ham.
No. I hear that. I haven't had Taylor Ham myself, so I can't even speak to it. So I got no knowledge there. You're more New Jersey than I am right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'm Italian, so that already gave me
gave you a little edge.
Marrying
gave
Italian
you a little edge.
Doesn't make you New Jersey. Growing up in New Jersey doesn't make you New Jersey. Being Italian and having consumed Taylor Ham at one point in your life, those are the two prerequisites.
You got it. You're got it. I mean, I did. You know, I got a lot of Jersey water in my veins, so that counts for something. You know, I got a little Jersey DNA. My mom's Jersey, right? Aunt Wendy's Jersey. We all went to the same high school, so those roots are deep there. You better watch it, right? We know some people, too. I know you're Italian, but we know some people.
What's the name of the high school?
Ramapo High School.
Oh.
Yeah.
Where's Don Bosco?
That's where my brother went.
Is that
and that's
Jersey?
Up there, yeah.
I mean, that just screams out.
Hey, I'll go to Don Bosco. Jersey? You better watch your freaking mouth or I'll bust you across the face at Don Bosco.
even Ramapo sounds like it should be like a mob term. Well, I don't know what it would be.
It's an Indian term, honestly. It's more of a Native American,
really?
That, right? Oh. It's from that. We have a lot of
that
up here.
That makes sense.
Right.
I mean, when we stole their land, we started from the east, not the west.
Yes.
So it would make sense
right.
that that's where you would begin the process right. of changing or keeping their names. You have to go. We're taking over, even
yeah.
though you've been
but
here
the name's
for
cool,
you
so
have
we'll keep
to go,
that.
But we'll keep the names.
Right.
We'll co-opt as much of your culture as we can, but you have to go.
Let's go. Let's talk football.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
We got to go.
All right, let's go.
Yeah.
And we're kind of in the vicinity of Jersey because it's a team, the North Jersey and South Jersey team did a little business, right? And I'm learning the whole North Jersey, South Jersey thing. Just for the coming Civil War, this is important to know. The Jets and Eagles did some business. Hassan Reddick, and there had been some noise about he wants to be traded. I don't want to be traded. Well, I want more money, and you're not going to give it to me, so maybe somebody else will. So I guess he did want to be traded. And Hassan Reddick, who has been a very underrated and very competent edge rusher.
Yeah.
Who's done the, kind of like the guy we're going to talk about later, Jadeveon Clowney, kind of like team to team to team to team to team. Now he goes from the Eagles to the Jets for a third-round pick that could be a second. Third-round pick that could be a second. That means it's in 2025 because it's based on what he does in 2024. Jets take on $14.5 million of his compensation. The Eagles pay a $1 million roster bonus, and I assume the next step will be some sort of a new deal for Hassan Reddick. But that was the big news on Friday or thereabouts. Hassan Reddick, now a member of the New York Jets, who really now, I mean, they're doing the whole, like, older player all in.
Yeah, they're right now.
If all those guys stay healthy, they're going to have something.
Right.
If those guys stay healthy, they're going to have something. Not that Reddick's got the injury history, but some of the other guys is like, well, if he stays healthy, you'll have something. If he doesn't, you're screwed. That was kind of like the last year. Hey, if Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, you'll have something. If he doesn't, you're screwed. And he didn't, and they were screwed. This year, they got like, you know, four or five guys in that category of if he stays healthy, you'll be all right. And otherwise, you're going to have some issues.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, first off, the Jets, they're in the all-in, let's win it right now mode. We know that. It's a big year for Robert Saleh, right? And then with Aaron Rodgers and where he's at in his career, we certainly don't. I know he said he wants to play four more years. I don't know if that's realistic. Either way, we know it's, you know, coming down. It's coming down to the end here within the next few years. So, yeah, they're making aggressive moves now and like, hey, okay, we got a few young guys already, but, you know, we don't want a full team of young guys. That's not necessarily going to, you know, translate to winning playoff football games where, yeah, nuance, knowing how to play those game situations, veteran leadership, veteran experience does mean something there. But, I mean, damn, the Jets, the Eagles – I mean, you talk about the defensive side of the ball, it's an embarrassment of riches for both football teams. I mean, the Jets are, they don't sign Bryce Huff in free agency. He goes to the Eagles, signs there, and they swap out a guy that's, you know, a little older and probably going to be a little cheaper than Bryce Huff when it's all said and done. But damn, I mean, you just talk about the talent. We know the Jets' defense is talented already. I mean, it really is. It's one of the most talented defenses in football. You add Hassan Reddick to the equation here, and you just go, well, damn, can they get all the good 11 guys on the field at the same time? They got two first-round defensive ends in Philadelphia, and Jermaine Johnson and in Will McDonald, who they drafted out of Iowa State last year. So that's where, listen, you can't have enough pass rushers. We know that. Just like we saw at the end of the Super Bowl, 49ers got a great defensive line. You know, they could have used one more pass rusher to get after Mahomes late in the football game. They're going to go with that approach and, I mean, have incredible versatility with three extremely freaky athletic edge guys. That's where you got to like this move for the Jets.
Reddick has played for the Cardinals. He was a first-round draft pick, four seasons there, one with the Panthers, two with the Eagles, and he's got four straight double-digit seasons. What a career. He started slowly, 2.5, 4-1, and then boom, 12.5, 11, 16, and 11, and obviously he's the guy
found his groove.
Who hit the elbow of Brock Purdy opening the door for the Eagles' Super Bowl appearance, because you and I both believe that if Purdy stays healthy for that game, the 49ers go to that Super Bowl and not the Philadelphia Eagles. So he's been a key player, but the Eagles, like every other team, interchangeable parts on their giant football machine, and they decide to go with the younger Bryce Huff, move on from Hassan Reddick.
Right. They got Nolan Smith there. Right.
They let Huff go.
Yeah.
And they do have – the Eagles have – it's like they got all these guys, and they don't have as many as they did because Fletcher Cox leaves, but he hadn't been a key part of that rotation the past couple of years. He's still there. They that's their goal. That's how they won the Super Bowl in 2017. And when you see a team that doesn't have Patrick Mahomes that's doing really well, or Chris Jones for that matter – you get those, we've talked about this many times, seven or eight guys who are rotating in, wearing down the offensive line, which doesn't rotate the same way. You get to the fourth quarter, and you got fresher guys on the defensive line. And as you've said many times accurately, defensive linemen in today's NFL, the pass rushers, they are big, they are bad, they are fast, and the offensive linemen, generally speaking, have a hard time handling them.
Yeah, there's not enough good ones to go around. I mean, that's the big thing, right? I mean, that's where I think in this draft we're about to see in a few weeks here, I think it's got a chance to maybe break the record with the offensive lineman, because it's like, well, he's big, he's athletic, yeah, he needs a little work, but there's only a few of these people on earth. We better get one right here. So there is some of that, and we know the game is won in the trenches. I mean, we know that. We look at the best teams in football year after year. One of the common things they usually have is, whoa, the D-line is real, right? Whether it's the Chiefs, what we've seen, the Eagles going to the Super Bowl, the 49ers, the Rams winning at the Super Bowl that year against the Bengals, who got a pretty good pass rush too. I mean, that's part of the game. And I think, yeah, we're in an era here where, hey, it's a passing offense, teams are hurry-up offense. If you just have two good defense ends, it's just not enough. It's not enough. Not enough in the era of also the scrambling quarterback, right? That's another thing you know when you watch a game, especially in person like the Super Bowl with Mahomes. It gets to the fourth quarter, the pass rush of the 49ers or whoever's playing, Josh Allen or Mahomes or Burrow or Lamar, it doesn't have the same intensity and explosion because they've been chasing the damn guy around for the last three quarters. So now they're not as explosive and as fast, and the advantage goes to the quarterback that way. So I think this is where we're seeing some teams, especially the upper echelon teams, they're taking a little bit more of a, hey, I know we got two big-time pass rushers, but we need something else to add to this mix here. And I think that's where it's good for both teams. The Eagles are staying ahead of the curve with their young guys. The Jets are, let's do it right now. This guy's a proven commodity, and let's make it happen. And, you know, it should be fun to see. They're going to be some hell of a defense, that's for sure.
Reddick is 29 years old.
Yeah.
And the thing that – and I don't mean this to be about him,
yeah,
per se.
Right.
It's just odd to me that the Eagles get this guy – who has 27 total sacks in 2 years,
yeah,
Pro Bowler each year, has that key play in that key moment, which you would think would engender some sort of positivity between organization and team. And it might just be as simple as he valued himself at a certain level and they didn't. And instead of forcing him to stick around for the last year of his contract and possibly have it turn, you know, Howie Roseman is the common thread back to the T.O. year,
yeah,
when he didn't want to be there. And maybe when they have situations like that, they just nip it in the bud and move on. And you know, hey, we're going to do this guy a favor. He wants more than what we want to pay him. And instead of having an ugly situation, we're just going to come up with a different approach altogether. It's unfortunate that it felt like he found a home in Philadelphia.
Yeah, right.
After doing the Cardinals and the Panthers, it felt like he could be long-term in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just be part of that,
right,
that team for the rest of his career. Something, there was a disconnect somewhere, and it might be as simple as money. Nothing more complicated than that.
Yeah.
But you would think they'd try to find a way to get through to him and be willing to value him properly, because I don't know who's at fault here. The problem was they just didn't have the same vision of what this guy's worth. But he's clearly worth plenty,
yeah,
in today's NFL.
No,
you got 27 sacks in 2 years. You're doing something right.
That's right. He's a player. I mean, he really is. That's where, I mean, the Jets, I'm sitting here going, wait, how are they going to play this? Who's going to be the starting 11, right? I mean, are they going to play Hassan Reddick at stand-up linebacker and let Jermaine Johnson and Will McDonald be the defensive lineman, the defense ends? Are they going to play, right? We've seen, like, the Legion of Boom when Robert Saleh was in Seattle. They were so talented, Mike, that, you know, they would have their 4D linemen in, Cliff Averill and Chris Clemens as the DN, and then they'd have Bruce Irvin, K.J. Wright, and Bobby Wagner as a linebacker, and they would go, oh, you're playing three receivers? They would go, we don't give a crap. We're going to play this group right here. We're still athletic as hell with the three backers on the field and their length, and we know, hey, it's the Seattle scheme, right? They don't play a lot of man-to-man anyways. It's zone. So as long as you know your rules, length and athleticism, wow, it's still a pain in the butt. I'm going to be interested to see their approach there. I mean, it's you know, that's different from the NFL and what we see right now. So that's kind of cool. But your Eagles thing, Mike, I do think is interesting. I think they're a little bit in like Howie, like he told us at the Combine, he's trying to stay a step ahead always. He didn't want to tell us the formula, but it's always about staying a step ahead. What's the new angle? And I think right now he's in the angle of, hey, I'm getting my young front guys that I've invested in a year or two ago in the draft, and we got to play them sometime. It's time to do it. You know, Nolan Smith, the kid from Georgia, remember last year, he kind of fell into their lap at the last pick of the draft. I think that affected the Hassan Reddick thing, let alone Reddick's age. And then, hey, we got an embarrassment of young guys here. You know, we got Josh Sweat, who they paid some good money, right? They got Nolan Smith. They got Bryce Huff. They got Jalen Carter. They got Jordan Davis. They want to get that new group in there. And then I would think that, like what you said, Mike, Hassan Reddick, age, and then he wants a new contract. And for the stats and the way he's played last year, he's being paid way below market value for what his production has been, you know, as far as a pass rusher in today's status or current status right now.
Josh Sweat's name came up middle of March as a possible trade option as well.
Right.
They've restructured his contract. They're keeping him around. You know, with the Jets, though, this is a move that you make if you're already a contender and you're looking for a piece that takes you next level.
Yeah,
it just felt weird for the Jets to do it, because it's almost like they're presuming they're a contender, even though they were horrible last year because they didn't have Aaron Rodgers. They're telling themselves and maybe trying to convince everyone else that they really are in position, that this is a sensible move for them because Aaron Rodgers will be healthy this year. And I know that one of the things that we do every year in the offseason, we just assume everybody's going to be healthy because it's stupid to try to predict who's going to be injured, even though we know people will be injured and it will change the course of entire seasons like it did for the Jets last year.
Yeah.
But this is kind of a bold, all-in move. You know, we keep making fun of the Cowboys and specifically owner Jerry Jones for saying that the Cowboys are all in and then doing absolutely nothing that would conceivably be characterized as all in. The Jets are far more all in than the Cowboys. The Jets are making the kind of moves that you make when you have a team that you feel really good about and you're addressing your needs with veteran players that you're getting at a reasonable price, but you're bringing in the Tyron Smiths, the Mike Williams, the Hassan Reddicks. Now, again, Reddick's probably going to want a new deal, but still, they're going for these veterans to plug these spots and elevate a team that isn't where you would think a team that would be making moves like that ordinarily would be.
No, I mean, I hear you.
If that makes any sense
at
all.
No, I know.
They're presuming that they're at a level that they have yet to achieve.
No, you're right. They're forward-looking, right? But I think we can all agree that, like, you know, I know it's, hey, ifs and whats and candies and butts and all that kind of stuff, right? But I think we can all agree.
Sounds like the ingredients of Taylor Ham.
Exactly. It's a lot of that. They put it in that machine you talked about, then you eat it, right? But I lost my train of thought. Okay, here we go. But I think we can all agree.
Forward thinking.
Yes, forward thinking. You know, yeah, they haven't done it. But like we saw last year, we went, wow, there's a lot of talent on the roster. And it's certainly fair to make that assessment again. I don't think we're, you know, going too much out on a limb there. Now, they got to go out and do it. They got to stay healthy. We got that. We got it. But you look at the Jets on paper and you go, those names we just mentioned, with Quincy Williams and C.J. Mosley, right? One of the better linebacker duos in football. With Quinnen Williams on the inside, arguably the best defensive tackle in football. And Sauce Gardner on the outside. And D.J. Reed, the other corner, who's damn good. You start to go, the Jets, on paper, have one of the most physically talented football teams in the league. Their front seven is definitely in the conversation for one of the most talented front sevens in the game. It was already before they made the Hassan Reddick trade. And then you add in, you know, I think, you know, what all the things we're talking about. Can Elijah Vera Tucker stay healthy? Can Tyron Smith stay healthy at left tackle, right? Can Mike Williams get healthy at receiver to be able to be a key contributor, you know, by week five or six? If those things line up the right way, and now you got three guys on the edge who could chase Josh Allen twice a year and get him down and do all that, yeah, they got a chance. And I think they're playing it like they got a chance this year, and I don't blame them for doing that.
But despite all that, there really is a sense of tension and pressure.
Oh,
and
definitely.
Urgency.
It's now.
As Aaron Rodgers said himself back in January, everyone's on the hot seat.
Yeah.
And he's right. He's on the hot seat. Robert Saleh's on the hot seat. Joe Douglas is on the hot seat. Everybody's on the hot seat. And that's the negative. The positive is, nobody expects them to be what we expected them to be last year, even though they've got better pieces now than they had last year.
Yes.
We got sucked into this idea that Aaron Rodgers is going to go to New York and everything's going to be great and they're the Hard Knocks team, and Rodgers, with the help of the NFL Films producers and HBO, they made me think that he was
God.
I'm choosing my words carefully, different than the guy in Green Bay, that he had matured. And I'm not saying he hasn't. I see, again, this is what happens when you're trying to choose your words carefully. I just got sold a bill of goods on Aaron Rodgers that may not be, you know, accurate based upon things he's said since then. But I got caught up in this idea that, you know, he seemed to be very aware of his football mortality and appreciating his teammates, and out of Green Bay after all those years, and they involved him in probably too much as it relates to personnel, because they got some guys that really didn't contribute last year who were there because of Aaron Rodgers and only because of Aaron Rodgers. So I think this year they will find a sweeter spot where Aaron Rodgers isn't ignored, but you look at the moves they've made so far. There's not a former Aaron Rodgers teammate to be seen.
Yeah.
No David Bakhtiari.
Right.
No Aaron Jones. You know, Aaron Jones gets cut. They don't make a beeline for Aaron Jones. Remember going into the offseason and in the immediate aftermath of the trade deadline, the Jets are going to go after Devontae Adams in the offseason. Well, they signed Mike Williams, so there's been no talk about Devontae Adams going to the Jets. So they've taken a big step back from the Aaron Rodgers friends and former teammates plan, which I think was smart.
Agreed.
They've added these guys, and we'll see. It's good that they have very low expectations. It's bad that there is a sense of tension and stress and sensitivity. I don't want to go down the rabbit hole from last week with the comment that was made on the NFL Media podcast about the very heated conversation between the owner and Robert Saleh.
Right.
But I can just tell you, from the way that was handled in the aftermath by them, it made me even more convinced that they are feeling the heat and they're very sensitive to the heat. And it's like, these are the Jets. You think that they're used to everything by now. They are very sensitive to the perception that, you know, it's one gust of wind away from crumbling.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think they are, right? I think also, too, they're very aware that their team is really talented, and the rest of the league's looking at them going, you're talented. You guys better show up this year. Like, the roster's real. There's no excuses, right? Yeah, I mean, we know Rodgers got to stay healthy and all that. But, yeah, I think the fan base, right, is expecting a lot. I think a part of the fan base, right, and I would say of the Jet fans I know, 50% of them, maybe more, I think are like, I can't believe they brought Robert Saleh back. I think there's a little bit of like, I don't know if we shouldn't have just changed the whole regime, right? So there's definitely pressure up here right now. And then, hey, yeah, you add on and some of the names that are on there now, and Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback, right? The Jet fans want it right now. And you look at it, and you can't fault Joe Douglas for what he's doing right now. Joe Douglas has put out a product right there that's real. So now they got to go out and play. But we talked about the defense and the players there. You talk about the offense, and you go through that now and what the Jets look like. I mean, it's left tackle Tyron Smith. It's Elijah Vera Tucker, a kind of an all-pro caliber type of guard. It's Joe Tippmann, who they took from Wisconsin in the second round last year, starting center, right? It's John Simpson, who they got in free agency this year at the other guard. It's Morgan Moses, who they traded to the Ravens, right? And then you go, wait, they put Conklin at tight end? Holy cow, it's Breece Hall at running back. And it's Garrett Wilson, a receiver, with Mike Williams on the other receiver and Alan Lazard working the middle. You start to go, damn, the Jets are a real deal Holyfield right there. They better be damn good. So, yeah, I mean, it's the type of year and pressure, Mike, that I think we're talking about where it's like, it's go to the playoffs or you're probably going to be fired. It feels that way. And I don't think that's crazy with the talent we see on the team right now.
I agree completely. There's still two key ingredients in all of this. And, yeah, you know, they've already got the over-under win totals out for all the teams. I talked about that some on Friday. It's kind of hard to do that before the draft. The draft still will reconfigure things because there will be teams that acquire players who can come in right away and make an impact. We just won't know until it's time to play. But, you know, the other big thing, Chris, the other thing that we don't really focus on until the day after they remove the sheet from the schedule is, when do you get your games? Do you get your schedule in a way that is more conducive to picking up wins? I'm looking at the Jets' opponents now. We know they play the Patriots, Dolphins, and Bills twice. They've got the Texans, the Colts, the Rams, the Seahawks, the Broncos. You know, when you get the Broncos is going to be, I think, a factor in whether you have a chance, a better chance of beating them. You'd rather get the Broncos early because they're breaking in a new quarterback. We still don't know who it's going to be for sure. You want to get them, ideally, before it all settles down. And maybe they, you know, figure it out. And this new quarterback, especially if they draft someone, you want to get him earlier in his career. You don't want to get him later in the season when he's starting to have the game slow down. Same thing with having the Vikings on their schedule next year.
So they're playing
to go to Minnesota early, then late.
What is it, the AFC South and the NFC West, or is it what NFC conference is it?
They have the NFC West, so they have to go to San Francisco and Arizona, and they've got the Seahawks and the Rams. They pick up the Vikings for that
17th game. Right.
It was almost Rodgers back to Green Bay. It almost lined up.
Wow.
Rodgers back to Green Bay. But it's Rodgers back to Minnesota, which is almost as good given all the years that he tortured the Vikings fans.
Yeah, well, hopefully he'll love to torture you one more time on the way out there. That'll be good, definitely. But, yeah, listen, you make the point, though. You're right. I mean, one, you laid out, I think, the right scenario. But, two, the big thing is, how do those games play out as far as how they are? You know, that's where you don't want to make predictions, but when we see the schedule every year, the one thing that we do together is go, let's look at the first four or five games. It's tangible to kind of go into that a little bit instead of like, well, week 14, early December, win. Like, come on, get the hell out of here. Like, we don't know then, but we kind of know what the teams are going to look like early on. And if, the Jets got Buffalo week one, got to go to the 49ers in week two, got to play the Rams in week three, and then got to play the Houston Texans in week four, I don't give a damn how good their roster is. I'm going to go, whoa, they could start out 1-3. And then we know, the crap hits the fan. Sorry, Manchester. And then it's all of a sudden, oh, gosh, we're snowballing out of control into Loserville. So, that is a big part of it.
Especially this year.
Right.
In New York.
Right.
This year in New York, it's critical. And for the past couple of years, every time their schedule comes out, I say, who did they piss off at 345 Park Avenue?
Yeah. No.
Right?
Right.
And it's good that person is pissed off at them for a change instead of me. So, this year, and this is where I don't know how effective the lobbying even would be, but you want to have an emissary to the league office just reminding them, hey, you kind of stuck us with our toughest games in the first half of the season each of the last
3 years.
Maybe that'll balance out a little bit, that we'll have, you know, some, like even the Steelers, like it's going to take time for them to figure out Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, Arthur Smith is the offensive coordinator.
Right.
Like, you know, if we got to play the Steelers anyway this year, yeah, I'd kind of rather get them before they figure out things. Any team that's undergoing major transition, especially at the quarterback position, I think generally speaking, it's better to get them early than late. The only flip side to that is, like, if it is a rookie or if it's somebody new and maybe they've got some ways of doing things that you're not ready for, I'd still prefer to get them before they're comfortable. I'm not worried about them making me uncomfortable. They've got to get comfortable before they can make anybody else uncomfortable.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that thought, right? I mean, yeah, you talk about, you know, new quarterback, young quarterback, new team, all that. We saw that. The greatest quarterback of all time went to a new team and had an adjustment period, and they were sitting there at 7-5. I mean, 4-4 with Brady went to the Bucs. So I'm with you there, right? It's better to get that situation early rather than late when they're, okay, I got a hold of the offense, I feel good, I'm used to the NFL, whatever that may be. We'll see. The Jets have had arguably the toughest schedule in football. I think it's 3 years in a row, Mike, where we've literally looked at the first 6 or 7 games and go, I don't know if anybody's got a tougher first 6 or 7 games than the Jets. It's pretty incredible. But yeah, the pressure's on this year. Nobody cares. Nobody. It's where it is. Like you said it right. Up here in New York, I don't care if they play the Chiefs 5 games in a row to start the year. The Jets fans expect winning this year with the team they got there, and hopefully they can do that.
I mentioned the over-under win totals. The Jets, via DraftKings Sportsbook, are at 9.5. That seems a little high, even with that 17th game.
Yeah.
That seems a little high, but it's probably, you know, that's you could see, you know, it won't take much to get over 9.5. I could see them under, but okay. But, you know, when you consider the highest number is 11.5, that's the Chiefs, Ravens, and 49ers,
right.
I believe.
Right.
9.5 just seems a little high.
It's ambitious. You know, I mean, we know that, but it's right on the fringe of like what we're talking about. A team that's really good on paper, it's talented. They're a playoff caliber team as we sit here and look at them right now. It's just, yeah, can they prove it? Can they stay healthy? They got old guys, like you said, because they're kind of in, let's play, let's go all in right now. We can't develop a right tackle. We need somebody that can block Rodgers this second. We can't worry about week 4 going, we're still game planning, worrying about our right and left tackle because they're young or whatever else. That's the mode they're in, so I think it's probably just right, and it certainly would make me think it would. I mean, I'd probably at this moment right now, like you, and maybe pick the under, but let's see how the draft plays out. Let's see what the schedule looks like. Maybe that'll change our opinions.
By the way, I can't believe I went the whole segment without mentioning that it is April 1, Kalamino to our Greek friends, John and Bob Vassilopoulos, but it's also April Fool's Day.
It
and
is.
I think that the fact that it's a day after Easter, we lost sight of it. Here's the text that just came through from Michael David Smith of PFT, and I think it's a good message to anyone. I'm going to read it verbatim. Reminder, it's the worst day of the year to be looking for news on social media. I've already seen one dumbass retweet an obvious April Fool's joke. So that dumbass was not me, but watch out.
Yes.
Because, you know, the way that X is structured now, and I know we need to take a break, but I still don't understand this. They break your feed down into who you follow and this for you algorithm that I see a lot of stuff on there, and it's like, why do they think this is for me? Like, what? Like, this ain't for me, Elon. But a lot of times, that's your default. So somehow, some bullcrap, phony, fake Adam Schefter, fake Ian Rappaport gets into your for you. And that's how it happens. It's like, what the hell? Why can't we just go back to who we choose to follow? What's this other thing that we accidentally get sucked into from time to time? I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate that part of it. And there are plenty of things about that specific platform that I'm not really thrilled about right now. But that's the worst part. So beware. Beware on April Fool's Day as to who you believe and who you don't believe. All right. By the way, we mentioned the DraftKings over-under total for the Jets. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NBA. And this season, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the app and use the promo code PFTLIVE when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. And please bet responsibly. When we return, Jadeveon Clowney on why last season was his Kobe year. That and our draft of the veteran players who will benefit most from a fresh start. We'll do that next here on PFT Live.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.